Oregon Government Ethics Commission, June 26, 2020.
Good morning, everyone. I will now call the meeting to order. Comments from the chair. I hope that all of our amazing staff here and their loved ones are staying well and safe in the midst of everything, and hope that my fellow commissioners are doing the same. We've got quite a full agenda here, and I know that some of the commissioners have to leave a bit early, so let's just dive right in. And we will start with the approval of the minutes from
Ron,
you did need a second.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just wanted to introduce a new employee. Becky, you want to...
You have to stand over there.
You have to execute on camera so they can see you.
So they know you're real.
All right, sorry.
Anyway, we're able to hire a new trainer. This is Becky. She comes
Hi, everyone.
With a great background, and so you may hear her voice throughout the proceedings here. So hopefully soon we'll be able to meet face-to-face.
Right. Very good. Okay. So hopefully everyone's had a chance to peruse the minutes from our last meeting on May 15th. Did anybody have any questions or issues with the minutes?
Move approval.
All right. So moved. All righty. All in favor?
You have to approve.
That's right. That's right.
There's
okay.
No motion needed.
Fair enough. Okay, then. So moving on, then, to the consent calendar, which is items 3 through 41. Do any commissioners want to remove anything on the consent calendar?
Yes. This is Mr. Mason. I have... I'd like to remove number 4 and number 39.
Okay. All right then. So, and do any other commissioners want to remove any other items from the consent calendar? Okay. Hearing.
Mr. Chair, on the consent calendar, I will move approval of the consent calendar with the exception of items 4 and 39.
Very good. So moved by Commissioner Fiskum. Thank you. All right. All in favor of approving the consent calendar with exclusion of items 4 and 39, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Any opposed? Okay. So moved. All right. Then going to item number 4, Jim Bernard.
So, Chair, thank you. I guess I just had a question on, because of the recent past with Commissioner Bernard, I guess I question the wisdom of just giving him a letter of education, based on, I guess the previous violation. So I think I just wanted to pull that out and ask Executive Director Burson about that.
Yeah, all I can tell you is in the past, we haven't kind of mixed filing deadlines with ethics violations. So where he has been before the commission, and I think we talked to him about conflicts of interest and use of office. I don't think during that time it was actually talked about, the filing deadlines. I think the, Commissioner Bernard understood the filing deadlines. He just plain missed it. And this is the first time in all the years that he has been the commissioner of Clackamas County that he has missed the SEI. So that's why I recommend a letter of education. And then I understand that he is no longer on the commission. Clackamas County, he's no longer Clackamas County commissioner. And so not that he won't take another public official job or position out there that require an SEI, but anyway, that's what I did. I gave him the benefit of the doubt that we didn't really educate him when he was here. We did educate him on conflicts of interest and use of office, but not on his filing. So.
Okay.
Okay, thank you for that, Mr. Burson. And then on and just for clarification for 39, Daniel Martin, I acquainted with him and worked with him in the past on the in the county, and so I would just abstain from that vote.
All right, very good. Thank you, Commissioner Mason. Okay, so with that then, item number 4, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, move approval of item number 4 on the consent calendar.
Okay. All right, thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. All right, Commissioner Fiskum has moved approval of staff recommendation on item number 4. All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We're good.
And Mr. Chair, I will move approval of item 39 on the consent calendar.
So moved. All right, and on this one we'll do a roll call. Commissioner Mason is going to be abstaining. So roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke? Excuse me, he's absent. Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Piskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Abstain.
And Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0 with one abstention.
Thank you. All right, moving on to item 42. Oscar Arvana, staff report, please.
Yes, so Mr. Arvana, this is his second violation of his statement of economic interest. He was 2 days late in 2018, so this is just the minimum for the second violation of $50.
Okay. Any questions or discussion from commissioners?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes.
I see all six of these, the second violations all straight to 50. I'm assuming that's the penalty main trip. And I just question whether that's a little low based on how many second violations there are. But, I mean, I feel like in the past we've not had that many second violations, so it seems like this is a larger number than usual. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I don't want to tell you that you're wrong. It's just that it's kind of the time of the year for that. I mean, we've had people, we just got through with the filing. These are the folks that we're calling to try to get their filings in. And it just happens to be this time there's a few of them that had a violation back in 2018. I will say that the $50 has been kind of a commission practice for a minimum for a second violation. And so I've kind of stuck with that. It's either 10% or a minimum of $50. So that's why my recommendation is that. It's not really has to do with the matrix. We don't really run these late filings through the matrix that's done for violation of the ethics laws and executive session, things like this. But for just the filings itself, this has been the practice of the commission, but it is not bound by the matrix.
Okay. Thank you for that, Mr. Burson.
Okay.
With that, Mr. Chair, I will move approval of item 42 and the staff recommendation for $50 for a second violation for Mr. Arana.
Okay, so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Piskum?
Aye.
Mr. Keene?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0.
Very good. Item number 43, staff report, please.
I'm sorry, that was 6. Correction, that motion passed 6-0 because Mr. Burke is absent.
Okay.
Okay, so this again is a second violation in 2017. This person received a letter of education, and now in the 20 filing, they were 8 days late. I put a minimum of $50 down.
All right, any questions or discussion on this?
Mr. Chair, I should know this, I suppose, but can Mr. Burson or somebody tell me what the words waived $780 refers to?
Sorry, what are you looking at, sir? Oh, I believe in that letter of education for 2017, the penalty was $780 when we gave him a letter of education the first time.
Okay.
So that's how much we waived.
And the current fee is $80?
The current maximum penalty we could give him is $80 for being 8 days late. Yes.
I see. Okay. So the $780 refers to the previous penalty that was waived.
Yes, the first time that he came to us with a late statement of economic interest. He owed $780, and the commission chose to give him a letter of education.
I see.
And it worked for 2 years, but the third year he got a little late again.
Okay. All right. With that, then, I'll entertain a motion in regard to item 43.
Mr. Chair, I will move the staff recommendation on item 43 involving Jim Whitlock and $50 for a second violation.
Okay. So moved. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Piskum?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
Okay, item 44, Julian Bell, staff report.
Okay, this time, they actually in 2018 got the maximum penalty of $5,000, and the commission at that time gave them a letter of education. It worked for a year. Now, we're in 2020, they were 7 days late. The maximum penalty we could give them is $70. I chose to do the minimum penalty for second violation of $50 to recommend that.
And just a quick question, Mr. Chair, if I might. Mr. Burson, I presume that the fact that $5,000 was waived doesn't affect your recommendation for $50 for a second violation?
No, I think that, I mean, again, you know, the commission is the decider of this. But I think, you know, they've been pretty consistent in, you know, the first time. I mean, I don't know the circumstance on that $5,000. I mean, it could have been a brand new public official, simply didn't know about that. I mean, I don't know how well maybe some of the, what do we call those folks that do it, Virginia? Like the people, the...
GCs.
The JCs, the jurisdictional context. I don't know how well maybe they educated their folks. Maybe this person just, you know, had no idea, doesn't have email, or their email jumped into spam. I mean, I just don't know all the instances.
Sure.
So instead of going back and researching all that, I look at what they've done now. They were 7 days late, and I don't want to do 10% because, you know, I really don't want to waste anybody's time for $7. So I think a $50 minimum or 10%. If they had been late... for the full amount this time at $5,000, we'd be looking at, you know, $500 there. So that's really my recommendation anyway. So that's kind of my thinking when I'm going through these, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Okay. I will.
Mr. Chair, I'll move approval of the staff recommendation on item 44 involving Julian Bell, $50 for a second violation.
Okay. Any discussion on that motion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Piskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
Item number 45, Chloe Udale.
So just...
Chair Sosa?
Yes.
This is Commissioner Keene. I need to declare a potential conflict because I am the general counsel for Prosper Portland, which is ultimately overseen by the city of Portland. So I am going to abstain from the discussion and the vote.
Chair, this is Commissioner Edwards. I also need to abstain from this vote.
Well, I need somebody. I
need somebody for.
Yeah, we need five.
Four.
Yeah.
We can come back to this later. We'll try to get a hold of Mr. Burke.
Okay.
We can come back to this one later.
Okay, fair enough. We'll circle back to this one. Okay, then. So we'll move on to 46, then. Richard Johnson.
Yeah, Richard Johnson received a letter of education in 2017 for $110 a violation. This time he was 14 days late, had a $140 potential penalty. I recommend a $50 for a second violation, the minimum amount.
Any discussion on this one?
Mr. Chair, I'll move approval of the staff recommendation on item 46 involving Richard Johnson, $50 per second SEI violation.
Okay, so moved. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Keen.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
And we also have Bruce Weimer, item 47. Staff report on this, please.
Yes, Mr. Weimer received a penalty of $20 in 2019, and now in 2020 ended up with a $460 penalty. So my recommendation is to give him a letter of education for 2019 and give him $50 for the second violation of 2020.
Mr. Chair, just a quick question. Was there any record of the fact that that $20 was paid?
The $20 was not paid. He actually owes $20 to us.
So on the, if we were to approve this, he would owe us $70.
No, we would give him a letter of education for 2019, so yes. We would waive that $20, and we would give him $50 for a second violation in 2020, owing us a total of
$50. I see. So the effect of approving this, if we were to approve it, would be that that $20, which is pending, would be, in fact, waived.
That's correct, sir.
We don't know a reason why the gentleman hasn't paid that, presumably.
I don't know why.
Is he offended by it, or, you know?
I mean, I don't believe we've been hounding him too hard on it. So,
no,
I mean, we're not spending a lot of money chasing $20 here. So,
fair enough.
I'm sure he received an email. Who joined?
Holly, the media member of the media, Holly.
Okay. So he received that he owed the $20, but other than that, I mean, like I said, the staff here isn't really chasing him for the $20.
Yeah, he says in his letter that he's retired. He did know about this, but he's procrastinated. He's had some technical problems logging on and so on and so forth. So he said he's on a fixed income. This would be a considerable hardship if we didn't reduce. So. All right. Any further discussion? If not, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, part of me would be more comfortable leaving the $20 and imposing additional $50, but in light of his communications with us, I will move approval of the staff recommendation on item number 47 involving Bruce Weimer.
So moved. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Keen.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
Okay, moving into the stipulated final orders, looks like the first one, Lena Richardson, she wanted to participate?
Yes, I'm not sure, Monica, if she's...
I texted and I haven't heard response yet, and I haven't seen the number pop up.
Okay, I haven't heard from her this morning, but...
Well, I decided if you want to do Liz Large or not. She's been on for a while, that's up to you.
Yeah, that'll be the first one once we move.
That's perfect.
Thank you. Yep. So, all right, well, let's go ahead and proceed then with item 48, Lena Richardson, for stipulated final order. Staff report on this one.
Thank you, Chair Sosa, Commissioners. Again, my name is Lisa, my name is Lisa Kristen. I'm one of the investigators, the Government Ethics Commission. This is the case of Lena Richardson, 19-249 ELC, item 48 in your book at page 191. Ms. Richardson is the mayor of Shady Cove, was also mayor at the time the incidents and the complaint occurred. She used the services of several city employees to investigate issues regarding property she owned and was owned by her son, and failed to properly announce a conflict of interest regarding these issues. After considering...
Lena Richardson is now joining.
Okay. All right. Good morning. Is this Ms. Richardson on the line?
Yes.
Yes,
I am.
Yes, good morning. My name is Nathan Sosa. I am chair of the Ethics Commission, and we've gotten to your matter here just a moment ago in regard to the stipulated final order. So at least if you could just kind of sum up what you just said for her benefit, and then we will proceed on.
Good morning, Ms. Richardson. This is Lisa Kristen. I'm one of the investigators here, and I was reading the Synopsis of your case. Ms. Richardson is the mayor of Shady Cove was at the time of the incidents and the complaint occurred. Ms. Richardson used the services of several city employees to investigate issues regarding property she owned and failed to properly announce a conflict of interest regarding these issues. After considering the preliminary review reports in these cases, the commission voted to move the matters to investigation. Rather than complete the investigative phase, Ms. Richardson wished to settle her case for a letter of education, which was in the range allowed under the penalty matrix. The stipulated final order is signed by the respondent and is in your meeting book for approval.
Do any commissioners have any questions for staff?
No, I really don't. I think the statement that I signed summarizes what occurred and my position regarding that.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Ms. Richardson. Do any commissioners have any questions?
Okay.
Seeing none, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, go ahead.
Final order for Lee and Bruce.
Thank you, Mr. Starr. Moved approval of the stipulated final order. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fissom?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Mr. Mason?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
Okay, Ms. Richardson, thank you very much for joining us. It has been approved.
Could you clarify the final order?
That you'll be receiving a letter of education.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a good morning. Okay, item number 49, Mary Nielsen.
Thank you.
Lena Richardson
is now exiting.
Thank you, Chair Sosa and Commissioners. Again, for the record, my name is Lisa Kristen. I'm one of the investigators at the Government Ethics Commission. This is the case of Mary Nielsen, a case number 19-289 ELC. This matter is found item 49, page 197 of your meeting book. Ms. Nielsen was vice chair of the Oregon Board of Certified Advanced Estheticians. Ms. Nielsen, at a meeting of their Education Advisory Committee, presented a book she had written and published to be used as a reference for the Oregon Certified Advanced Esthetician Certification Exam. After considering the preliminary review reports in these cases, the commission voted to move the matter to investigation. Rather than complete the investigative phase, Ms. Nielsen wished to settle her case for a fine of $250, which was in the range allowed under the penalty matrix. The stipulated final order is signed by the respondent and is in your meeting book for approval.
Thank you. Any questions from commissioners or discussion?
Ms. Nielsen is not on the phone. Not saying she should be. She isn't. Right?
No, she was notified, as was her attorney, and neither of them indicated that they wished to participate by phone.
I want to express my appreciation to our staff for the ability to pronounce the word.
I wrote it out phonetically.
Very good. Mr. Chair, if there are no questions from my colleagues, I'll recommend approval of item 49, the stipulated final order involving Mary Nielsen.
So moved. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
Item 50, Raymond Curtis.
Chair Sosa, Commissioners, Susan Myers, investigator. Raymond Curtis is a lobbyist with Veterans Education Success. At its May meeting, the commission considered the preliminary review report in this matter and voted to open an investigation. The underlying facts are that Mr. Curtis began lobbying in Oregon in the first quarter of 2019, but did not register with the commission until February of 2020. He explained that he had not been aware of the registration requirement, and as soon as it was brought to his attention, he did register and has filed the quarterly reports on time. The stipulated final order that is in your meeting books provides for Mr. Curtis to receive a letter of education, and we are recommending approval.
Thank you. Any questions or discussion? then I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, regarding item 50 on our agenda, the stipulated final order pertaining to Mr. Raymond Curtis, I'll recommend approval of the staff recommendation.
So moved. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
And the final stipulated order is A.J. Kitt. Staff report, please.
Thank you, Chair Sosa, Commissioners. Again, I'm Lisa Kristen with the Government Ethics Commission. I'm an investigator. This is the matter of A.J. Kitt, case number 20-055 ELC. It's item 51, found at page 207 of your meeting book. Mr. Kitt is a member of the Hood River County Planning Commission. Mr. Kitt had business relationships with two members of an LLC, which was before the board, regarding an extension of a building permit. Mr. Kitt failed at that time to announce a potential conflict of interest before taking action as a member of the Planning Commission. After considering the preliminary review report in this case, the Commission voted to move the matter to investigation, and rather than complete the investigative phase, Mr. Kitt wished to settle his case for a letter of education, which is in the range allowed under the penalty matrix. The stipulated final order is signed by the respondent and is in your meeting book for approval. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'll recommend approval of the staff recommendation regarding item 51 in the matter involving Mr. A.J. Kitt.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
Okay. All right. Well, with that, then, before we get into executive session, because I suspect we're going to be in executive session for quite a while, and I know that one of our distinguished colleagues does have to leave a bit early, I want to say before we go into executive session that this is going to be Commissioner Keene's final meeting with us. Her term is now up, and were she here in person, I would have this lovely plaque that we would present to her and so forth, but it will be sent to her. And I just want to say, and I'll open this up to my colleagues in just a moment, but I just want to say to Commissioner Keene that it has been such a pleasure to serve on this commission with you, that from the very first day that I got here, your input and your wisdom has been invaluable, and I just can't say enough about what you have done, I think, for this commission, and how much we're all going to miss you. So wish you well, and with that, I'll turn it over to my colleagues if they want to say anything.
Thank you so much, Nathan.
Mr. Chair, this is, for those of you who can't see me, I'm near Mr. Burson, but I'm in the room today. Thank you. It's in Salem, so I came to the office. But I want to echo Mr. Sosa's comments about Ms. Keene. When I started on the commission, she was here, and I also have learned a lot from Allison over the last couple, 3 years. So much so that my proposal for the next legislative session, subject to the governor's concurrence and other matters, is to extend the available time for commissioners to two terms, not just one, which means, Allison, you can serve for four more years. Thank you.
And if you didn't like me, it would be for 12 more years.
That's true. Thank you, Allison.
Thank you, Dave.
Piggyback on this as well. Commissioner Keene, this is Carly. I echo what's been said, and really, as someone who doesn't come from the legal community, the way that you walk through your thinking has been incredibly illuminating for me, and as someone starting out on the commission, has been really helpful for me to kind of learn the ropes. So I really appreciate that you take the time to walk through
your deliberation, and it's a service for our community, and it's certainly been a service to me and helped me grow into this position to be able to serve alongside you, and you will definitely be missed by me.
Thank you so much, Harley.
I'd like to jump in and just say that, you know, obviously echo the comments as well. I think all of our chairs of the commission have done an amazing job, but I think Allison truly was an incredible example for all the chairs that came behind her, because she demonstrated a lot of poise and composure during some really intense meetings, and was incredible, and it was a pleasure to serve with you, Allison.
Thank you, Dan.
Having had all of these people chipping in, I'm hesitant to add anything except that I felt tremendously blessed that I had the opportunity to meet you and to serve with you.
Thank you, Commissioner Starr.
So just real quick, I'll throw in another commissioner. So, Allison, I just want to say thank you for all your help. I think it was pointed out that you were the chair through one of the most turbulent times here at the commission, and you were nothing but steady during that time, which definitely helped me out because I was a nervous wreck. So,
as were we all.
Yeah, I think you really are that inspiration for us looking at this legislative concept to expand out at least the choice for commissioners to be able to serve another term. So thank you very much for everything you did. And we did get a new commissioner. She was confirmed yesterday or the day before. But her term starts on July 1st. And not only did you do all the work here, but he actually found us another person that I think is going to be fantastic on the commission. So thank you again. I just really, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate all the help.
Oh, thank you, Ron.
Yeah. Great. Thank you so much, Allison.
So can I talk to you?
May I say a few words?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry I'm not in video today. For some reason, my thing's not working. But I have really valued this experience. When I first came on, it was, as we all know, it's a lot of work, and it was more than I was expecting. But I was really, I was inspired by all of you and our predecessors as well. And I think as a public attorney, I know how hard it is for public employees and elected officials to follow some of our rules. It's hard enough for lawyers to interpret. So I really appreciate Director Burson's direction, which is we're both educational as well as correctional. And, you know, Ron, I just think you and your small staff have done just a tremendous job. You make it very, very, I won't say easy, but you do make it easy for us commissioners to at least get down to what the real issues are, and you and your staff sort through so much factual information as well as dealing with people in their sort of most vulnerable. It's very vulnerable to come before the Ethics Commission, especially for many of our public employees who aren't even compensated very much. So I have really treasured this time. I can't believe it's been 4 years. I would think of coming back after maybe a year or two, maybe when I'm not working anymore, because I think it would be that. I also think it's valuable to get new people in. So, maybe if it were two non-consecutive terms, that might be a good thing. But I just want to say to this commission, I have really enjoyed all of you so much. I look forward to seeing how bumps that we've had to be on the conference. Commissioner Starr, I really miss your bread this morning. I was pretty hungry. And I was thinking, I wish I had some pumpkin or zucchini bread. Anyway, thank you all so much, and I will really miss you. It's been humbling to serve with you.
Thank you, Allison.
I was going to ask you, Chair, maybe we could take care of number 54 and try to get sure. all the votes while we have the maximum number of commissioners.
Yes, fair enough. All right, so let's then go to item 54, Rick Scholler, which we have an attorney that wants to be a participant in that.
Both the attorney and Mr. Scholler wanted to join, okay. So Monica's texting them.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And then after that, we will jump into executive session, and we will... we'll prioritize those folks in executive session who have attorneys that are going to be accompanying them. We'll try to get taken care of first.
I mean, while we're waiting for them, I mean, I think, do you want to do Joe Colon?
Yeah.
Nobody's calling on him, right?
No.
Okay, while we're waiting for them, if you want to do that, they're full.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, that's fine. Item 52, Joe Colello.
Chair Southwick, Commissioners, this is Diane Gould, Commission staff. This is item number 52, a default final order on page 213 in your book. On March 27th of this year, the Commission found Mr. Joe Colello in violation of ORS 244.040 for his participation in a scheme in which he personally received over $170,000 in prohibited financial gain that would not have been available but for holding his position as a program administrator for the Department of Energy.
Tracy Frazier on behalf of Rick Scholler. He
is now joining.
Okay. Mr. Colello pleaded guilty to racketeering charges for this scheme with the predicate crimes of bribe receiving, theft, tax evasion, and official misconduct. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison, 3 years of probation, and restitution in the amount of $1.3 million. Following the March 27th finding of violation, Mr. Colello, through his attorney, was sent a settlement proposal and a notice of proposed civil penalty.
And he is now joining.
And the opportunity for a contested case hearing. He was informed he had 21 days to request a contested case prior to a default order being taken. He did not request a contested case hearing, and the default final order for $3,000 is in your meeting book for your approval. I haven't heard from he or his attorney. So.
Thank you. Questions from commissioners?
Mr. Chair, has Mr. Colello completed his prison sentence necessarily? I think
no.
The answer would be no, I believe. Is that right?
No, he's still in prison, but his attorney attended the March 27th meeting, and
right.
He was sent information about this.
Right. And so at the moment, we don't know why there was a failure to respond.
Well.
And I'm not saying, I don't want you to speculate inappropriately,
no.
But we don't know, right?
He was sent, along with this notice of proposed civil penalty
right.
And opportunity to request a hearing, he was also sent, his attorney was sent, a settlement proposal for the same amount for
right.
$3,000, and he responded that he didn't want, that his client was not going to stipulate to anything at this point. So
okay.
The only option was default final order.
I have a question in regard mm-hmm. to the penalty matrix. I know we give, if folks have been ordered to pay criminal restitution,
right.
That is a factor in the amount that we're assessing. But how did we arrive at the 3,000, and how is that, where does that fall on the spectrum of our range?
Okay, that was, for one, we found him, and you guys found him in violation of one statute, for one violation and 34 equivalent actions. So that fell on the matrix at between, I think it was, well, $3,000 was where it fell. That's where the penalty matrix came out. Because it's
was
only
40
one
to
violation.
60, and I think we gave him
so 40 60%. To 60% of.
We gave him the top amount mm-hmm. for the one violation. The top amount we could do is $5,000, but the matrix mm-hmm. allows us, you know, we have to run through there. So this is the maximum penalty we can charge for the violation.
That was my question.
Yes.
Okay.
That's why the settlement was for the maximum amount. Also, but he did not want to stipulate to any facts.
Okay.
So this is our action now. This will give us an ability to collect this money from him. As far as the restitution goes, as you know, restitution does not come to the commission itself. It goes to the general fund,
right.
And the jurisdiction itself has been given restitution through the courts. So we didn't follow through with any kind of forfeiture or restitution.
Mr. Chair, I got one other quick factual question. What's the definition of the term equivalent actions?
That's one of the features in the penalty matrix where instead of finding someone like 47 violations for 47 failures to
times 5,000
announce a conflict of interest,
right?
We do one violation and so many equivalent actions, and those are put in the matrix and they rack up points to be considered.
Thank you.
This is counsel. Can I just interject in this default final order? One of the things the commission is tasked by the statute with doing is if, you know, there have been other penalties imposed and sanctions imposed to consider that, and I think the commission took that into consideration here by doing one violation and the 34 equivalent actions, since he owes, I think, a substantial amount of money and he's in prison.
Yeah. The equivalent actions came from, you know, years ago when, like, people would use cell phones, and before I got here, sometimes they would actually, every time they used a cell phone, they wanted to have that be another violation. Driving cars, you know, so when we built the matrix, we said, you know, so driving the car, you know, for your personal use is the violation, and then how many times you do it is how many equivalent acts. The cell phones doesn't run into as much as it used to because there's kind of unlimited minutes that's out there, but it's that uses. So this is an odd one. I mean, we have 34 times we've received a check from an outside source, but
Mr. Chair, I'm prepared to make a motion when you believe the time is right, but you may want to see if anybody else has a comment.
Unless there are any other questions from other commissioners. Hearing none.
Mr. Chair, my quick preamble is, especially in light of Ms. Alpaugh's commentary that we can consider other fines, including the $1.3 million that's pending, I will move approval of the staff recommendation on item 52, the default final order involving Mr. Joe Colello.
So moved. Any discussion by commissioners? Hearing none, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Keene.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
All right, now we will jump down to item 54, which is the matter of Rick Scholl. And I understand that Mr. Scholl and his counsel are on the line. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right.
It is correct.
Very good. And counsel, if you could just identify yourself.
Tracy Frazier with the law firm of Chalk Fargo. All
right. Thank you, Ms. Frazier. All right, so before we begin on this, I would just say, for purposes of disclosure, that Ms. Frazier is an opposing counsel on a case that I have in my private capacity as an attorney, but I don't believe that is going to preclude me from participating in this. So with that said, we will proceed on with the report of investigation from our staff. And Ms. Frazier, Mr. Scholl, after staff has made their report, we may have some questions for them. And then at that point, each of you will be given an opportunity to add anything you would like to the record. And we may have some questions for you. And then the commissioners are going to deliberate amongst ourselves, and we'll be making a decision after that. So with that, staff report, please.
Thank you, Chair Sosa. Commissioners, Investigator Susan Myers. Item number 54 is an investigative report for Rick Scholl, the mayor for the city of St. Helens. This is the last of five cases involving the members of the St. Helens City Council and an executive session held on May 21st, 2019. The executive session was convened under ORS 192.660, subsections 2E and 2H. 2E is to discuss a real estate transaction with the person designated to negotiate, and H is to consult with counsel about pending litigation or litigation likely to be filed. In this case, the meeting on the 21st was more of a workshop than an executive session. The City Council was meeting with its engineers and representatives of various state agencies and others to discuss a proposal to fill St. Helens Old Wastewater Lagoon with materials from the Portland Harbor. Unfortunately, rather than solely discussing the real estate transaction with the person designated to negotiate, the council's discussion went beyond the scope of the transaction and evolved into discussions about public relations for the project, different governance models, and visioning exercises to consider future uses for the resulting land. By so doing, they exceeded the scope authorized for discussion under the statutory authority cited. In its March and May meetings this year, the Commission approved stipulated final orders for three of the councilors. Those orders provide for those councilors to receive letters of indication. In March, the Commission also made preliminary findings of violation for the fourth councilor, who is also the complainant in this case. As additional information, I believe the investigative report indicated that Mr. Scholl had not provided a response subsequent to when that report was completed. In speaking with Mr. Scholl and his attorney, he did attempt to provide a response in September of last year. Apparently, it didn't come through, but he has provided it. That response consisted of the bylaws and a copy of the email notice from the executive session, which other counselors had also provided. So with that, the recommendation in the book is to make preliminary findings of violation for one violation of ORS 192660.
Thank you, Ms. Myers. Do any commissioners have any questions for staff? With that, Mr. Scholl, Ms. Frazier, if either of you would like to add anything, you're free to do so.
Thank you. My client would like to make a brief statement.
Sure. So, yes, we had a meeting on May 21st with Mal Foster on the Governor's Regional Solution Team on a very complex issue regarding our wastewater treatment facility, which is a 39-acre secondary pond, which was originally for the paper mill site, which is no longer operational. And so we announced the meeting as a real property transaction, and we headed into Portland to Mal Foster, Belongi, to have that meeting because it was more feasible as far as economics, because we are running on grants for this project. So when I got there, I seen an attorney that the city has used in the past, David Zerbino, who works for Jordan Ramis, our attorney. So I did open with ORS 192660 2E and H, consulting with counsel. The meeting did cover, in my opinion, did cover real property when we are talking about the 39-acre lagoon the city owns and partnerships, whether it be partnerships with the state, whether it be David Rubino, unbeknownst to me, was there for to talk about a land bank, which is multiple agencies that could potentially own the site. Also, the city itself just taking the liability and running the facility, and also the discussion of like maybe a waste management who deals with solid waste as a partner. If you were to Google Portland Harbor, in my opinion, likely there will be litigation wherever that material goes, except for maybe Eastern Oregon. Maybe. But even then, when this starts, you have the river keepers and you have the Yakima Indians who are going to be all over this. So it does take either
litigation, potential litigation, or likely litigation. They've never got to that point. Actually, the meeting kind of blew up with Councilor Topaz saying he was smarter than everybody that was there. And this, the whole regional solutions team was there. You know as well as I do, the players are DEQ, the governors, our assistant to the governor, ODOT, I think, was there. Business Oregon was there. There was a number of people there. So, and moving forward, after that meeting, and prior to this meeting, Councilor Topaz never objected to the meeting happening. He never, once in the meeting, said this is out of order. We need to quit talking about this. He took the information immediately afterwards to a media source, and they printed up an article in June. It's called The Spotlight. It's owned by Pamplin Media, and saying that we had an illegal meeting. And they knew a bunch of information about it and had asked Council President Morton and my administrator questions. And I was just kind of curious, and I asked a question in one of our meetings. I'm like, I wonder how they knew all this information when they were asked to come and they never showed up. And Councilor Topaz admitted that he took our executive session stuff immediately to the Spotlight newspaper. So in return, later in October, he filed this complaint, and he used that article, the testimony that was, or the statements that were given, as testimony against us. So in my eyes, that is very, very illegal to do that. If you want to take it to an attorney and file a complaint to you guys, absolutely. But we are already prosecuted in our community by Councilor Topaz in the Spotlight newspaper, who does not have a good relationship with the city of St. Helens. I can just say that. If I were to tell you tomorrow night we're going to, or let's say in 2 weeks from now, I'm working with a group of scientists and there's going to be a purple sunset, and all of a sudden you get a phone call and you say, hey, do you know what's going to happen in about 2 weeks, especially around the evening time? How are you going to answer that when you know that you're in executive session and that you're not supposed to say? You're going to answer very vaguely and cautiously, and maybe say it was more of a workshop. This is a very complex issue that the city is trying to figure out what to do with an oversized secondary lagoon. And Councilor Topaz has proved to be an agitator, and it was more of a political stunt, and it rings true now more than ever because I've been with him for almost 2 years. And this was May 21st of last year, so we're well beyond a year now, and it proved over and over again this was a political stunt, and that he's using the ethic, you guys, as a tool to make the rest of the city council look bad. I don't know what else I could give you. I am open for any questions you may have. That's all I really have to say about it.
Thank you, Mr.
Tracy. Schultz. Did I miss anything that we had talked about?
Yeah.
No, I think you covered the main point. Thank you.
Very good. Ms. Frazier, anything you'd like to add?
No, thank you. We appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak with you all today.
Thank you. Do any commissioners have any questions for Mr. Scholl or his counsel? All right. Hearing
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Commissioner Fiskin.
I'm looking at the report of our staff, the middle of page 233 in our documents. The sentence says, the City Council discussed matters that exceeded the scope of and were not authorized by the cited statutory authorities. My question, and I think I heard you, Mr. Scholl, refer to that in your comments. What's your reaction to that statement in our report? Did you discuss and your colleagues discuss items beyond the scope of the cited statutory authorities?
I think it's kind of related to the real property transaction on how do you go about basically marketing a piece of land that is owned by the citizens that they understand that there's already some potential hazards there from the pulping process of the old mill, and that we have an oversized secondary that we're paying for. We only need one third of that to be operational with the current operation. So we are paying a lot of money. That discussion was related to really real property and how do you go about moving forward with public relations on that.
I guess that, this is Commissioner Fiskum again, that is in a certain sense the pivot on this issue for me. Our report also says the topics that were discussed, public relations concerns, long-range planning, visioning exercises, do not relate to and would not be authorized by the statute. In my role as a commissioner, I'm always suspicious of getting involved, allowing the commission to get involved in local political disputes around Oregon. It's happened to us before, yeah, it'll happen to us again. At the same time, I think if there's a technical violation of the law, that's a fact which stands on its own. The fact that the individual chose to go to the press and the media is an action which is not within the scope of our jurisdiction, insofar as I understand our jurisdiction. Mr. Chair, that's enough.
So that brings up a good point, and I'm sorry to interject, but we are not, we follow these rules, but we are not protected when somebody kicks off of out with executive session stuff. And if it's dealing with an employee in interim and it gets leaked, the city's liable, and we're not protected by these ORS. I understand the senators and House representatives are. Is that correct?
I don't know that we can answer that, but
you see what I'm saying, though?
No.
I don't know that we can address that right now, Mr. Scholl. But sure. I do have a question for Ms. Alpaugh. In the event that someone is in an executive session that has been called in the correct manner, but the discussion then moves away into topics that are not permitted, what is the appropriate course of action that a public official should take?
Well, the appropriate course of action would either be to point it out and try to stop it, or to leave. They could leave the meeting. Can I point something out on the real estate transactions?
Yes.
Certainly at the Department of Justice, we construe that very narrowly to be negotiations on the transaction, you know, talking about amounts so that the public doesn't have privy to that, and the people you're negotiating with can't then use it against you, as opposed to very broad issues that are of interest to the public, very, very much so of interest to the public, and not, you know, going to hurt them in the negotiation. You're not throwing numbers around. It's very different, and this is a very much broader discussion.
Thank you. That's all fine. Okay. Well, unless commissioners have any further questions.
Mr. Chair, one more question for staff, Mr. Burson's staff, who are involved in this. If we were to adopt the recommendation to make a preliminary finding of one violation of ORS 192.660, what further information would we hope to garner through such a procedure as that?
Well, I think the information, we already know all the information. I mean, we'd be looking like we've done with the other folks that have been here,
right,
trying to settle them and get some education on when is the correct time to do an executive session, what you do, like the chair just asked our counsel, what do you do if you're in an executive session and things are being talked about that may not need to be talked about. It's an educational opportunity, and I think that's what we've looked at it here with the other members, because you folks have decided every other case,
right,
on this. We've used it as a launching point for education. So
fair point. Thank you, Mr. Director.
Okay. All right. Unless there are any additional questions, I will entertain a motion.
That said, Mr. Chair, I will make a motion that we approve the staff recommendation on item 54 involving Mr. Scholl in the city of St. Helens. I have one quick comment after that. Do you consider that motion, Mr. Chair?
Yes. Mr. Fisman, go ahead.
My only comment is I endorse the director's commentary that I think we're set up to consider this in a similar fashion to other St. Helens matters that have come before us, as opposed to an emphasis on penalties. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any other commissioners want to add anything?
Chair Sosa?
Yes.
This is Commissioner Keene. I would like to.
Yes, Commissioner Keene, go ahead.
Thanks. I just wanted to speak to Mr. Scholl's comments. I hear you and I understand, you know, as an attorney for, I'm an attorney for a public agency, and I know that these, especially Superfund issues, are very fraught with litigation risks as well as real property considerations. However, your attorney or one of you should have advised you that you should split the meeting up and discuss the non-litigation matters in executive session, but have the rest of it open to the public, because the public has a right to hear the basis, the factual basis, and the PR considerations that you're making, that you're basing your decisions on. And it's very easy to do that. You just delay the legal and litigation and real property issues until the end, and you discuss all of the rest of sort of the workshop stuff in the public session, and then you call for an executive session. It should be rather straightforward, and it is rather clear that you can't just mix, you can't declare everything executive session just because some of it is. So I'm going to vote aye on the motion, and I hope that our investigator and our executive director will see fit to, I suspect we're going to issue a letter of education ultimately, rather than fines. And I am very sympathetic to our commission being used as a political pawn, which is also clearly happening here, and I'm sorry for that.
Yes.
But the fact remains that there are executive session rules for a reason, and if so, our citizens can know the basis for our public officials' decisions, even though they may not get to hear the legal discussions about litigation risks or real property sales and negotiations. So I just wanted to let you know why I'm going to be voting aye, but also to let you know that I do hear you, and I think it's an unfortunate thing when the ethics laws are used as a weapon for political reasons.
I appreciate that, and I just wanted to also let the rest of the Ethics Commission know that we had had two open meetings that had a lot of this same discussion prior to. This wasn't our first meeting on this with the Regional Solutions team and Paul Foster.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, any other discussion amongst the commissioners? Okay, and hearing none, motion is on the table to approve a staff recommendation, so we'll proceed with a roll call vote.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
All right. Mr. Scholl, Ms. Frazier, thank you very much for joining us. We very much appreciate you attending, and our staff will be in touch with you.
Thank you. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yep.
Can I say
multiple
quick,
people are now...
Just a really quick word. Mm-hmm. So folks that are watching this from outside, I appreciate the commissioners wearing masks coming in here, but wondering why we are not. This building has been very secure, and we actually had to pass through a temperature scanner to actually get in here. So even though Commissioner Fiskum and Chair Sosa did that also today, the masks are here to protect us. But I don't want anybody to be looking at this thinking that anybody on the staff is against masks, but this building has been held like a fortress by the owner of it, Mr. Morrow, and like I said, he is having us walk through scanners now to get in here. So it's been a very safe environment for us to work in, and I appreciate you folks doing that. But I didn't want people to look in and see like the staff is making some kind of political statement against masks, because we are not.
Let me just add a quick comment that temperature scanner is an incredible piece of technology.
Yeah, they had to go through it, but I'm just thinking about that as we're sitting here, people are looking from the outside. So.
Thank you, Mr. Person. Thank you. Okay, so now we are going to move into executive session to consider preliminary reviews pursuant to 244.2604D and ORS 192.685, subsection 1. And